You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to GoldRadio.fm, podcasting in .99995. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to GoldRadio.fm.
Well, it's good to be back, and a lot has happened in the last few weeks, and some of it is very good, and some of it is very bad.
Can you tell us about the Hat Trick Letter, how our listeners can subscribe, and how they can get a private consultation with you?
Sure. It's www.goldenjackass.com. I'm into my 22nd year now. I'm becoming a bit long in the tooth, but still sharp as a tack. The website is going strong. It's very accessible for the handheld items, handheld devices. I have time to do consult calls. I have one later this afternoon, a very nice lady in Texas. The Stock and Trade is the newsletter, and I tell you, it's a joy. It's a joy to cover this at the national level. It really is. And I'm not getting worn out at all by the war and the work and the analysis and the research. I'm just getting dragged down by the flack that I receive for being a defender of truth and honesty and liberty. So, the website is www-golden-jackass.com, and it's going strong. Sign up for the newsletter, do a consult call, make a donation, whatever. All right.
What are you hearing on the assassination of Charlie Kirk?
It was a bit too loaded with irregularities. I'm not a forensic analyst, but the blood spurt wasn't right. There's no recovery of the weapon in a clean manner. There's no ballistics verification of the bullet that supposedly hit. I've got a very good pair of photos of one is a double of Charlie Kirk. And it's a good double. It's like an 80% double. The NSA software concludes that it's the same person if the match is between something like 92 and 98%. We don't look the same a month later. We look a little bit different, our expression different, our hairline different, whatever. So there are a lot of, there's a lot of speculation on motive. Like the vote for the Senate to withhold and not release the Epstein files was pretty much at the same time. The little country in the southeast corner of the Mediterranean had been threatening Charlie Kirk, and they operate with total impunity to knock off our officials and to bribe them. So, yeah, and I got to say that I've got a really good source, and it's not military, a really good source, a sharp fellow with some connections. And they said that their whole family, Kirk's family, went into witness protection program. So who knows? He might be operating a 7-Eleven in Arizona somewhere. I don't really know, but I will say this. It looks pretty clearly that the incident will be used against the deep state, against the cabal, against maybe the little nation in the Mediterranean, the control center. And it might be used to bring about gradual implication and declaration of the Democratic Party as a terrorist organization and a domestic threat. So that's about all I have to say on that Kirk incident.
Could Charlie Kirk have faked his death because he thought some big players were going to kill him?
Yes, I am being told that for the last few weeks, he's been threatened, and it's not just by the little country in the Med. It's some others. And I'm not really an expert on that, and I don't choose to be. And I really don't care about any comparisons with Butler, Pennsylvania. So we can skip that. This is not a topic that I wish to do much investigative research in. What I'm curious about is the aftermath. Regardless of what the incident was, the aftermath is more important than the actual incident. I don't think he's dead. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 80-85% certain that Charlie Kirk is somewhere else with his family. And it could very well be, oh, and I've seen some pictures of his wife, can't remember her name, Anita or something, I can't think of her name, but I saw pictures of the double for the wife also. Remember, most people you think are dead are alive, and most people you think are alive are dead. And just put that up on your wall.
Q talked about the shot heard around the world was the Charlie Kirk incident.
Don't know.
Does it look like there are similarities between the President Trump shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the Charlie Kirk shooting in Utah?
I don't know. It's a different person. I'm really not too interested in that sort of analysis. I'm busy with the finance and economics. I'm very curious to see, though, if there's going to be some movement to gradually declare the Democratic Party a criminal organization and try to RICO it and confiscate the Clinton Foundation funds. That's my curiosity. I don't think Kirk is dead.
Is deception in politics a tool that's being used more and more often?
Yeah, and I think it's been going on for 5 or 6 or 8 years. I mean, how long ago was it that we got the nonsensical double of Pompeo and the stupid story that he spent 7 months at a spa to lose 70 pounds and to completely change his facial structure? Okay, that was 3 or 4 years ago. This has been going on. I mean, Biden in 2020 in the autumn was dead. So you had a dead man and someone pretending to be him during a presidential campaign. This has been going on for a long time. Many people you think are dead are alive, and many people you think are alive are dead. For instance, Princess Diana, she's alive and well. I think she's hiding in Spain somewhere, guest of King Carlos. John Lennon, he's not dead. He's probably running around in California somewhere among the hippies. A lot of people are not dead who supposedly were killed. This has tremendous political capital and benefit. And the hard part is sequestering him and his family so that the real ones aren't killed.
Is President Trump more likely to rely on doubles following the assassination of Charlie Kirk?
I think he's been using doubles for 10 years.
Should President Trump designate the World Economic Forum a terrorist organization?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to see a number of different institutions declared terrorist organizations. The World Economic Forum in Davos, for one. The George Soros Open Society, for another. Soros is dead, and Alex is running it, his son. They're deeply involved in a lot of the different corruption. I think the Gates Foundation should be considered a terrorist organization, and also paying for censorship among big tech companies. There's a long list, and they're all associated with the Democratic Party. And now we're getting cheering for the, let's just call it the apparent killing of Kirk. And there's cheering among the Democratic Party. There's cheering in various U.S. government federal offices, and there's cheering in the Pentagon among the U.S. military. So this needs to be cleaned up. And I go back to a joke that I have been using now for a few months, and I have been applying it to judges who are corrupt. Will all the traitors please rise? So this is an instigating incident that prompts a response. And, you know, there are some different murder mystery television series and movies, and sometimes it's not the evidence that brings about charges for murder. It's responses to stimuli that indicate the motive and the past activity of the killer. So now I'm noticing this is really quite interesting that there's, you know, cheering on certain, you know, Supreme Court decisions, and they're cheering for exoneration in court, and they're cheering for, you know, corrupt judges making a decision. Now there's cheering for the apparent kill of Charlie Kirk. Well, all traitors, please rise. Rise to be counted. Okay. This is very deep. And for those who thought that President Trump's election would be, oh my gosh, it's all going to be all, is it going to be all cleaned up in 2 or 3 months? No. Try 2 or 3 years. It'll be halfway cleaned up. This is a long process.
Should we be concerned about artificial intelligence and its potential effects on the economy, labor market, and society?
Yes, I think we should. We don't have any really responsible body that oversees the entire industry and the sector. I know it's going to remove some jobs. It's not going to remove as many jobs as people think. I had some design engineers, you know, like electronic engineer, chip designer, you know, electronic device designers. They contacted me and said, no, AI doesn't remove jobs. It cannot do the job of an electronic engineer. It can do tasks. So what you're having is some companies are saying, we're going to reduce, like, you know, 1,000 or a few hundred people. And it could be for the bad economy. It could be for the economic depression that's not acknowledged. But they're using the I don't like to call it excuse, but they're using the argument that AI is making unnecessary certain jobs. Well, it's making unnecessary many tasks, but you can't give a robot the job of being a project manager behind a chip design. You can give various tasks. So there might be, let's just think you got 100 people, 100 design engineers at a large company like Intel, which had a major layoff, and Microsoft, they had a major layoff. Of the 100 design engineers for chips, they might each have their load reduced by 20%. You don't get rid of those people because their jobs can be replaced. You can manage fewer people the same work, but the AI device, the AI robot, does not replace a person. It enables reduction of workforce because they're all more efficient. I know it seems the same thing, but it's not exactly the same thing. You cannot get a robot to write a newsletter. You can get a robot to handle various tasks. So if I had a staff of 10, let's just say more practical, a staff of 5, I could reduce it to 4. Okay, it's subtle. The difference is subtle. But there's a lot more to be concerned about, and that is AI devices doing hacking of financial records and financial accounts. There's concern about AI being involved in taking over, say, a weapon system, just like the movie Terminator with Skynet, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We got to be careful about that, and I don't think all the different protections are in place. The effect on the economy is going to be very positive. But there's another side of AI that needs to be handled and resolved. The electrical needs are going to be electricity needs and requirements. It's going to result in 3 to 5 more years of increasing electric bills for households because we're not planning. China is planning. We're not planning. We're free. Well, supposedly. China's not, but China has central planning. United States does not have central planning. we require a data center to be profitable in like two or three quarters. But that's not how you get things done. We're going to be behind the curve for the next several years, and the tariff imposition is interfering with our expansion of the electric grid. SoftBank has put on hold its $100 billion investment in robotics and data centers because of the tariffs imposed on unilaterally on Japan. Okay, I have said many times, the tariff policy is destructive. It produces two losers. We may get income from tariffs, but it's not translated into economic growth. It's all delayed by two and a half years minimum. I question if anyone has any information on this. Has SoftBank broken ground on anything in the United States in the last 6 months after their pledge of $100 billion? They backed away after the Japanese tariffs. I don't think it's a good idea to impose tariffs on Japan. They're too important, positive, and beneficial trade partner. It's carrot and stick. There's too much stick and not enough carrot. But we got to be careful about AI harming people. Like, oh gosh, Walmart has something where it can actually review records, review certain, maybe even emails, and change the price of something that the person is looking for in the store. I don't know exactly how it's done, but it is marketing at an individual level with spyware. Okay, we have to be careful about this. What if AI is used by the Democrat Party, they're not really Democratic, so I call them the Dem Party, and it's used in order to create targets to kill. Okay, you know, we have to be careful. And so far, we're just going ramrod, push it, push it, push it, and we're not thinking much about the ethics. And I really don't have a solution on how to handle the ethics, only that it needs to be addressed.
Is RFK Jr. doing a good job so far shining light on healthcare and big pharma?
Yes, I do. And I've got to say that I believe his approach is careful, cautious, and selective. Just imagine that you've got a very big target and it's got maybe 8 rings to it. I think Robert Kennedy, Health Secretary Kennedy, is going after the rings number 5, 6, 7, and 8. And he's not yet addressed the central rings. The bullseye, the second ring, third ring, fourth ring. He's not done any prosecution recommendations for genocide by Big Pharma, for genocide conspiracy with the American Medical Association. He's not done anything regarding sabotage and arson of food processing centers, subsidiaries, and central offices, the American Medical Association. A lot of Americans, sadly, and Canadians don't understand. But what I think has happened regarding Robert Kennedy is very delicate. He's chosen some, not exactly low-lying fruit, but very important lower-level fruit, like reforming the Food and Drug Administration, firing directors of the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta, advertising and facilitating the information flow regarding ivermectin and fenbendazole for attacking parasites, which brings about a very big implication. And I believe over half the cancer cases are a result of parasites, not DNA alteration and damage. We're getting way too many cures for cancer based on drugs designed to kill parasites. And I have begun my own treatment for regular, not daily, but regular parasite treatment, because the parasites are causing cancer, and that's yet another area of medicine that's being suppressed so that people don't become aware. Robert Kennedy is doing a really good job on the outer rings of the target. And believe you me, his entire family has been threatened with a kill. Kennedy's doing a really, really good job. I'd like to see the FDA all fired. They're all big pharma, former executives. They're regulating themselves. Okay, he's doing a very good job. Let's move on.
Do you think the American people are the only ones that President Trump answers to?
Lord, no. He answers to the cabal. He answers to Thiel. He answers to two or three billionaires that helped fund his campaign. He answers to the little country in the southeast corner of the Mediterranean where they wear little hats. I actually believe that Trump was born into a certain religion and he's been keeping it quiet, and he instead put out the story that he converted to that religion. I think Trump is in a very difficult position. He wants to restore liberty, but I believe he has to do it at a very slow pace. He has to do it step by step. And he also has outer rings of the target. So he's going after his outer rings. Notice that he's really not done what he promised regarding war in the Middle East. He's not done what he intended to do in Ukraine. He went in as a swashbuckling victor in Ukraine when, I don't know if he's aware, but the United States doesn't have an army in Ukraine. They just have a proxy of NATO. So he's not really done a lot in Ukraine. I think he's getting a lot of pushback from the narcos who operate Ukraine. Ukraine is a trafficking hub for the entire planet, especially Europe. Trafficking of everything, and their banks are in Switzerland.
Are we likely to see silver shortages ahead?
We've had silver shortages for the last few years. They're becoming acute, and I believe they're going to become near catastrophic really soon, because Mexico, having turned communist a few years ago without the headlines, is now a direct partner for selling concentrated ore, gold and silver, to China. It's very possible that because of declaring silver a national security metal, that Mexico did, and also President Trump has done, we're going to see less silver supply made available outside the military channels. It is my firm conviction that in the last year or two or more, the U.S. military has worked with J.P. Morgan to keep the silver price down. So I have a saying, and it's not intended to be too funny. It's intended to shock. We're still going to get some moves. I think we're probably going to see close to a $50 price or challenge by the end of the year. So we're likely to see 15% and 20% gains in silver in the next few months, but we're likely to see 10- and 20-fold gains, 20x, 10, 15, 20-fold gains in XRP as the bridge asset for transfer systems, which we'll address in a few minutes.
As the price of gold continues to rise, is it still a safe haven?
Oh, absolutely. There's no counterparty risk. Silver has the same lack of counterparty risk. It's not just a safe haven. It's a great store of value. I don't like hearing that Bitcoin is a great store of value. Well, yeah, if you don't have any intellectual property and if you don't have any contracts or a headquarter or a CEO, then emphasize the store of value. Okay, I get that, and I'll address that point a little bit later. But gold and silver have innate tangible value. And don't let the fact that there's so much gold hidden in various troves around the planet, don't let that dissuade you. Gold is still valuable, and that gold is not for sale. Just because there's a lot of supply doesn't mean it's available for sale. Let me phrase that differently. Just because there's a lot in inventory doesn't mean it's ready supply for sale. That's a very difficult point for some people to latch their wrap their heads around. But, you know, just take one instance. There are a lot of televisions in the United States and Canada. There are millions. Why doesn't the price go down to like 10 bucks? They're not for sale. Yeah, gold's a great store of value. So is silver.
What are you hearing on the U.S. dollar and stablecoin?
Stablecoin is a very big issue, and you know, you really got to sign up for the newsletter to learn more about it, because I'm thinking about making a large section on stablecoins, because they're the ocean of liquidity for the digital financial tech system, the digital financial system, and there's a transformation going on. The stablecoins, by definition, are tied one-to-one, you know, approximately, give or take, you know, a portion of 1%, to existing currencies like the dollar, the British pound, the euro, or the yen. So the stablecoin is stable by definition. It's a digital coin. For instance, USD Tether, if you did a chart for USD Tether, USD T is in Tether, you will see that for the last few years it has varied between 99.9 cents and 100.1 cents. Okay, so it's stable. But there's something going on with respect to stablecoin that I believe has caused an alert. And so far, the Russian finance minister is the only area, the only office that has addressed this. It looks very clear like the U.S. government managers are using stablecoins in order to dump treasury bonds. And I believe in the next 6 months, it's going to be quite apparent that treasuries have contaminated the stablecoin ocean of liquidity. There has to be some form of a debt write-down, and it might come with the stablecoin, rendering them unstable. Okay, so the dollar is seeing a sunset, and I've been saying for 2 years or more, the sunset will not be on a given day. It'll be on a sequence of years. I believe we're in about the third year of the dollar sunset. I mean the debt default multi-event situation. This is not simple. Sign up for the newsletter. Learn more about crypto in general. I don't like the name crypto. It makes it sound devious. It's digital finance. I have a chapter each month now for the last few months on digital finance. I decided about a year ago I will take this on as an area of study, because my three favorite assets right now are gold, silver, and XRP in reverse order. Number one, XRP. Number two, silver. Number three, gold.
Why are you bullish on the XRP crypto?
Because I've got 18 features and factors that indicate that it is going to be at the epicenter of the digital transformation from the old, corrupt, fraudulent U.S. dollar, call it the fiat system, the paper system, the open outcry system. For instance, how easy is it to detect multi-trillion dollar fraud, you know, at least $2 or $3 trillion, for duplicate serial numbers on treasury bonds? It's very difficult. But if it were all on the blockchain, it would be apparent to thousands of people doing mining. So there's a digital revolution coming on. I don't like that word as much as transformation. There's a transformation involved at present. And here's something that should really make a critical point. Certain digital finance analysts are being hired by Wall Street to teach them about digital finance. They have been opposing Bitcoin and others. I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. I respect Ethereum, but I don't like Bitcoin. It doesn't have any intellectual property. Ethereum has contract usage. OK, contractual usage with coin exchange transfers. We have a situation where for several years the established traditional financial system, along with its politics, you know, like the executives making rules, like you can't transfer money from your bank account to your coin exchange account. Well, those rules are falling by the wayside, one by one by one. We're having now big banks involved in setting up custodial wallets so that you can have a bank account with a bank, but the bank account is really for a wallet of coins. In other words, they're bridging the gap to bring brokerage to the coin exchange from the big banks. Big banks soon will have three types of accounts: a bank account for savings, etc., checking, saving, checking, an account for brokerage, stocks, bonds, an account for wallets for the coin exchange, your Bitcoin and Ethereum currencies and your altcoins that have true value, intellectual property, and contracts and usage and adoption. I'm bullish on XRP because of its unique position as a trailblazer for making extraordinary intellectual property like on-demand liquidity. No other altcoin has on-demand liquidity for transfers, which means that all the corresponding escrow accounts, the Vostro account over there and the Nostro account at the origin, ours and theirs, no longer are necessary. There's like a consensual handshake, and it eliminates the need for the escrow accounts, which will free up $10 to $15 trillion in the global financial system. XRP is like 500,000 to a million times faster, cheaper combination, the cost effectiveness compared to SWIFT. Ripple has set up numerous different layers for servicing and platform and rails, integration with central banks. Sign up for the hat trick letter. Sign up for the hat trick letter on golden-jackass.com. And the last 2 months have been loaded with information that should convince even the most basic of investors, not necessarily naive, but the most basic and young and inexperienced investors. This is a 10x gainer in the next year. This is perhaps a 20, 30, 40x gainer in the next couple of years. And XRP will be at the center of global transfer systems, even by offices that are not part of the Ripple ecosystem, the entire Ripple system. Like SWIFT, they're going to be relegated to running memos. Here's a memo on the receiving bank account, all the detail with the SWIFT code. Let's see if I can remember what it stands for. SWIFT, Society for Worldwide International Transactions or Transfer Systems. Okay. Sign up for the newsletter. Learn about XRP, because this is your second chance if you missed out on Bitcoin and its thousandfold gains. I missed out on it, except for a little bit on the wake. It's a long story I tell on consult calls. But XRP is part of the digital revolution, and the major players are now participating. They're not obstructing. The SEC Chairman Paul Atkins is all in favor. The CFTC Chairman Fan, she's brilliant, brilliant. And she's leading the way, helping Ripple to blaze the path. And Ripple, with their XRP product, they're building partnerships. They're not building competitors. All right.
We'll have more with Jim Willey right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. The United Kingdom is standing up. Do you see hope for the UK?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a good sign. They're rebelling against the favored treatment for illegal immigrants regarding prosecution for crimes and regarding housing. It's a little known fact by Americans, but there are 70 little cities in England whose mayors are Islamic. 70 cities. Okay, they've got an extraordinary situation far out of control. I wish the British citizens luck. I hope they don't get mowed down, arrested, beaten, killed in their demonstration. They need to do something about their elites and their leadership. We need to get away from this leadership concept that it's got to be a gay pedophile. We got to get away from that. Good luck, England. My heart's behind you.
The UK just passed a law that makes it illegal for politicians to deceive the public and other public officials like police officers after a major incident. And it followed a soccer stadium trampling event where dozens of people were killed. Do we need to have the same kind of law here where it's illegal for politicians and their officials to lie to the public?
I don't know. I don't care much about laws. I care about enforcement. I don't believe those laws in England can be enforced. I mean, there are laws against murder. Has that stopped murder? There are laws against fraud. Has that stopped fraud? There are laws against prostitution. Has that stopped prostitution? There are laws against, you know, child trafficking. Has that stopped child trafficking? We don't need laws. I remember when I was a kid, there were a lot of stupid laws about gun control. Then later we learned that the cities that have more guns have less crime. Let's move on.
If France falls, will it take the European Union down with it?
I think so, yes. France is the center of the governmental center. Oh, gosh, it's hard to describe. It's like the governmental castle of Europe. The financial castle is Switzerland. The governmental castle is France. I remember 3 years ago, Marine Le Pen won the election, but they paid her, I heard, 300 million euros. That's a hard figure to hide. So where is that, Marine? Is that in like a Caribbean bank? I don't know. I don't really care. I do think that if France falls, Germany will fall with it, and that's it. Then the third one will have to be Netherlands. And if those three fall, we're going to have severe attention and focus put on Brussels, which is the head of not only the European Union Commission and Parliament, but it's the head of NATO. Brussels is like the very evil hive, and I don't want to get into the Satanism. Most people don't have any concept of Satanism. Let's move on.
From the outside looking in, does Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, look like an economic hitman?
I don't know. He looks to me like a better polished Trudeau, but he hasn't done jack to fix the country, and your country has to be fixed at the top with your police force, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They're all corrupt. They're all vaccinated. And until you do something about enforcing broken laws, fraud, and treason in your parliament, you're not going to get anywhere. Your Praetorian Guard is the Mounties. And I've met a couple. When I was 15, I was in Saskatchewan for the summer. It was an interesting summer. My father had a teaching position for the summer session in Saskatchewan, and it was a lot of fun. so was the 10:15 p.m. sunset. We met a couple Mounties, and they were big, strong, sturdy guys playing golf. Right now, my guess is the Mounties are strong guys who have a CCP payoff and a hidden account. Okay, there's no law enforcement in Canada, and I'm not an expert in Canada, but Carney hasn't done jack shit, okay? And it looked to me like something was set in the stage when the fake Prince Charles, King Charles, that is not the same Prince Charles elevated. He's long dead. The fake King Charles announced that Canada was sitting on squatted Native American land, tribal lands. So that could set the legal precedent for a confiscation or a annexation and a withdrawal from the Canadian Commonwealth by Alberta and Saskatchewan. So that has to be brought into focus. All right.
Is Canada and specifically British Columbia considered by the Trump administration to be a narco state?
I don't know. I think the Trump administration would be very stupid if they didn't know that British Columbia was a Chinese Communist Party colony. For being a narco state, I don't know about that. I think Trump is trying to splinter off Alberta and Saskatchewan for their independent spirit and their very deep natural resources.
Could Russia invade Poland for its silver reserves?
Well, first of all, when it's is a possessive, there's no apostrophe. I just a little nit that I focus on a lot. There's a funny fact of metal mining life. A funny fact of metal mining life, and that is that Poland produces approximately the same amount of silver as Russia, even though Russia might be somewhere like 80 times larger. I'm just throwing out that figure. I think Russia has plenty of silver reserves. They've just been focusing on the easier targets of oil and gas, which are, I think they're much easier to produce. Metal is more difficult to produce. It has to go through a refining process after a concentrate process. I think there's probably a lot of silver in Russia. Maybe it's deeper down. I don't really know. I'm not a geologist, but it's very interesting that Poland has some rather serious silver deposits.
What's the latest on the Epstein files?
I don't know. I haven't kept up a lot with it, except for the Senate vote in the United States, 51-49, not to publish. What we're going to be seeing with the Epstein file is a lot of individuals coming forward, a lot of peripheral groups making the data known. Somebody just produced, I can't think of the fellow's name, but he produced some videos, and I don't know how he obtained them, from Epstein Island. And it could very well be that in a month or two, that man will be dead. I mean, killed for doing the reveal. I don't know. I do have rather strong belief that the Epstein files will be a point of contention for the next several years. I mean, more than a year or two, like 6, 8, 10 years, because it's the control device for so many Western politicians. I only know of one story with details, and that's with Vermont's Marxist Senator Bernie Sanders. And that's a sordid story that I would tell only during a consult call. Yeah, there's a lot going on with Epstein files, and Ghislaine Maxwell might turn out to be a rather interesting person to buy her way out of jail. But they might fake her death so she can get out without too many people understanding what the hell is going on. How many Americans and Canadians know that Epstein's still alive? even after his death in prison. Okay? Most people are not that smart, and we have to accept that. I know a lot of educated people, they're not that smart. And even many smart people are not that eager to investigate, so they remain not very well informed. Bad combination. Let's move on.
Are we likely to see Christians versus Muslim religion wars?
I think we've had them for 50 years. I think the tougher question is, are we going to see Christian versus Muslim battles in U.S. and Canadian cities? And I think the answer is yes. It's going to start out with ICE, what's that, the Immigration Control Enforcement, the ICE police arresting the immigrants, the illegal immigrants. So far, it's been mostly a Latino issue, but it could change and expand into a Muslim issue. Where we might see the Muslim conflict in the United States, I believe, will be in Michigan and Minnesota. That's my personal belief.
Do you think fluoride in the water is causing people to become dumber and dumber? And by the way, Vancouver has never had fluoride.
Yes, but not in a big way. The dosage is very small. I think it's hard. We got some confounding factors. You could say that Americans and Canadians have seen a slide in their IQ, their intelligence quotient, in the last 10 or 20 years. And it's hard to know whether it's from video games or broken marriages and families, or whether it's in bad diet, toxins in the food, and that includes fluoride. To convince the public in North America that a poison called fluoride is good to strengthen teeth is one of the greatest travesties in modern times. In the Manhattan Project in the 1940s in, you know, New Mexico, where they were developing the atomic bomb, there were approximately 10 or 12, maybe more, scientists who died of fluoride poisoning. Yet we put it in the water and convinced the dumbass public that it's good to strengthen your teeth, and it has no effect on your teeth. Sugar has effect on your teeth. So we ignore the sugar and we promote the poison for teeth. Unbelievable. All right, so fluoride, along with all the different treatments to kill parasites, fluoride will become a topic of concern very soon, and I welcome it.
The Fed just lowered interest rates 0.25%. Is that going to have a major impact?
Well, yeah, it won't be an impact on what you want. It'll be an impact on the point of least resistance, which is speculative investments. It'll bring money into the stock market to pump up the value of stocks, even though there's a depression still in the economy. It will bring about investment in Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and the other altcoins. Will it bring about a big investment for expanding businesses, hiring workers, and, you know, bringing about greater economic activity, producing things, more services? Maybe a tiny amount. Okay, we need to understand, in North America, we're largely a speculative community when it comes to money. Regarding North America, we're still deindustrialized. Will it bring about more foreign direct investment? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. If we have fewer tariffs, it would. Will it bring about an expansion in the S&P 500 companies when it's difficult to hire capable workers? I don't think so. We need 10 years of better education in North America. We need 10 years of dropping off the DEI bullshit for hiring people based on racial quotas who can't do their jobs. We need people to learn in school not what their favorite pronoun is, but what algebra is all about and what the quadratic formula is all about and what a sine wave and trigonometry is all about and what polynomials are all about and what wattage and voltage are all about. Instead, we got video game kids. Instead, we got fat kids with obesity and diabetes. We have an education problem that we will need perhaps close to a generation to overcome. There's been sabotage. A 0.25% interest rate is going to produce a bond rally, but will wipe out many different bond buyers at auctions because it's less reward for the higher risk of debt default. Okay, we're in an intractable situation. We have no solution at all for our $37 trillion in debt. The only solutions I see are bringing gold to the table in 100,000-ton units. And that will not be done as long as the cabal is still partially in power and rooted. I'm going to have to, close this, Jim.
Where can our listeners subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter to get your latest issue and contact you for a private consultation?
It's www.golden-jackass.com. The stock and trade is the newsletter. There's only one. I call it the Hat Trick Letter. I got consult sessions. I have one later on today. They're actually a lot of fun. They're stimulating for the information flow back and forth. I benefit once in a while in a very big way from boots on the ground from a consulting client who's got information that's valuable. If you don't like the newsletter and you just like podcasts, hit the donation button and do it regularly. Just help pay the way. I'm putting my life on the line and I'm not exaggerating. I've had some near death experiences here, several, and I'm up to 9 dead people in the last 8 years, 9 dead people right around me, and each one has a cost. So hit the consult button for a consult session, hit the donate button, sign up for the newsletter, and if you're wealthy and you've got a lot of zeros on your net worth, touch the sponsor button and help me out in a big way. Someone did just a few days ago, and I fell to my knees to thank the Lord Jesus Christ because that man was a Christian, and he continues to help me. All right, this is year 22 of the newsletter. Help support me. I'm being harmed, but I'm still strong.
Jim, thank you so much for talking with us.
I appreciate the exposure, and good luck to you all.
My guest has been Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. goldradio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.